Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as supporters of ousted President Mohamed Morsi staged their day of rage in Egypt, the clashes between the military and protesters continue, the body count only rising since President Obama's statement nearly 24 hours ago. And in the background during this turbulent situation in Egypt, Israeli and Palestinian peace talks began this week. Joining me now to talk about the chaos in Egypt and what it might mean one way or another for peace negotiations next door is David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for The New York Times. Hi, David.
Good to be back with you, Brian.
And, of course, a lot of people who are watching the bloodshed in Egypt were unsatisfied with President Obama's message yesterday, which we aired during our show. Here's a short clip of that, 11 seconds.
While we want to sustain our relationship with Egypt, our traditional cooperation cannot continue as usual when civilians are being killed in the streets and rights are being rolled back.
So the president canceled this joint military exercise called Bright Star that was scheduled for next month. What's the significance of Bright Star to the Egyptian military, and is it that significant?
You know, I don't think it's quite as significant as people in Washington wanted reporters and others to believe yesterday. I mean, it has been a traditional way for the officers of the Egyptian military and the officers in the U.S. military to not only train together but build up some relationships together. And, you know, those relationships were very important, Brian, in 2011 during the uprising against Hosni Mubarak, because there were moments when American officers could reach out, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and others below him, to their Egyptian counterparts and say, you know, you don't want to be caught shooting your own people in the streets. Mubarak isn't worth it. You should let this revolution, you know, go on its way. What I find fascinating is that in the past few days, that process has failed. It hasn't been for lack of trying. You heard Defense Secretary Hagel on the phone to his counterpart in Egypt. We've seen trips by senior American officials. But the bottom line is that in the end, the Egyptian military and the other security forces didn't show the kind of restraint that they showed in 2011.
Well, what does the Egyptian military want now? Why are they doing this? They still don't want to be seen as the people really in charge, I don't think, as opposed to the power behind the throne, and as a relatively trusted institution in Egypt. They don't want to squander that by massacring hundreds of people, I'm sure. So why is this happening?
They don't, but at the same time, remember that the military has long been distrustful of the Muslim Brotherhood. It's the military and Mubarak who trained them, who kept the Muslim Brotherhood leadership in jail and on the run for decades. And then when the Muslim Brotherhood had a brief period of time to run the country, they famously messed it up and, you know, did nothing for the economy, turned out to be running a very illiberal democracy. The only thing democratic about it was the election that brought them in, and then after that they were cracking down on their opponents. And I think this ended up serving to reconfirm in the minds of those in the military who didn't want to go deal with the Muslim Brotherhood anyway, or let them run the country, that this was the moment to go take back power. And that's been the difficulty that the Obama administration is in. You heard in President Obama's comments yesterday, one of the reasons that it seemed unsatisfying to so many, I think two of the reasons, is first, he did not announce an end to the $1.3 billion in aid to the Egyptian military, because he fears that if he does so, he's lost his only leverage. And that's essentially a payment for keeping up the peace treaty with Israel. And the second thing he did not do was call what happened a coup when it plainly seemed to fit the definition. And the reason for that is everybody acknowledges that Morsi himself, once elected, was running something well short of a liberal or inclusive government.
And U.S. law would require the suspension of that military aid if it was, in fact, a coup, as I understand it. So they're dancing around that term. We have time for a few phone calls from Egyptian-American listeners. And folks, those of you who are Egyptian or Egyptian-American, maybe you were listening on the day just before the military took over power from Morsi, when there were those massive anti-Morsi demonstrations in the streets. And I asked, do you really want a military takeover after your first democratically elected government was installed? And the callers that we got that day were by and large for a military takeover. And I wonder how you're feeling today. If you supported the move to get Morsi out of office rather than wait till the next election, what do you think about what's happening now? 212-433-WNYC. Do you regret your support? Do you think this is still heading in the right direction despite the horrific 600-plus killed in the demonstrations by the military over the last several days? 212-433-WNYC for any of our Egyptian-American listeners, 212-433-9692. Do you feel yourself swinging back and forth, I wonder, between wanting the Mubarak government ousted through demonstrations in the streets, and then the Morsi government ousted through demonstrations in the streets, and now the military government ousted through demonstrations in the streets? Can't go on like that forever, right? 212-433-9692 with David Sanger from the New York Times. And David, to bring Israel into this, the Wall Street Journal reported this week that Israel and Egypt are quietly working together to quell, as the journal put it, Islamist militants along their border. And apparently this arrangement has stepped up since Morsi was forced out last month, and that's what's news. Can you explain it?
Well, you know, the oddity here is that Israel, of course, because they're most worried about keeping the peace treaty going and keeping the border on the Sinai peaceful, was arguing to the U.S. not to abandon General Sisi and to not to abandon the military, even as they were shooting people in the streets. And because their interest and the military's interest is keeping that border quiet. And that's also an American interest as well. Now, it did, you know, there have been incidents, individual incidents, but nothing of a broad threat to Israel of the kind that the Israelis feared when Mubarak was first out in 2011. And so this puts the Israelis in the position of being interested in a democratic Egypt, but less interested in that than a stable border.
Let's take a call from one of our Egyptian listeners, Lucienne in Manhattan. Thank you so much for calling up. You're on the air.
I just wanted to comment that democracy is not just going to vote. Democracy is a government that is inclusive, that has respect for minorities and for women. And Morsi, the Muslim Brotherhood, did not establish a democratic government. So the military really has restored democracy to Egypt. So I'm glad that they did that.
Democracy, well, we don't know that yet. We don't know if they've restored it in the sense that there will be a future elected government. At the moment, they have power, and they've used that power in part to gun down hundreds of Morsi supporters.
Yes, I realize that. But the thing is that they are trying to establish a government that they are espousing a philosophy of including the Christians and other minorities and respecting women. And that is the most important thing.
Lucienne, we'll see if it works out that way. Thank you. Ashraf in Rockland County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ashraf.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to say that I never, as an Egyptian American, I never supported the military coup. I'm always for peaceful means and by going to the ballot box.
And so, what do you think about what might come next?
I don't know, but it doesn't look any promising. It looks like they have polarized the people of in Egypt. And it's really looking very scary.
Thank you very much. And Sam in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Brian. I'm supporting the army in Egypt because they're protecting about 70 million people of the moderate Muslim and the Christians. The Muslim Brotherhood actually is a terrorist organization. In the last week, they burned more than 50 churches, and they're attacking the Christians. So I'm actually supporting the army in Egypt.
But what about the army opening fire in the way they have in the last few days?
They defend themselves. They're not opening the fire. They actually, Morsi supporters, they started opening the firing on the army and the police.
Sam, thank you for your call. David Sanger, is there any factual basis on which to conclude that this violence is the result of the Morsi supporters in the streets and that there was a proportional reaction to whatever provocation from the military?
Well, I'm not in Egypt now, and so that's a question better aimed at the reporters in our Cairo bureau.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly there was some violence coming from the Morsi supporters. Certainly a number of the Morsi supporters were armed. The question is why the Egyptian military wasn't better trained to handle this kind of thing, because obviously there have been periodic protests in over the past 2 years. There were some pretty violent ones the last time I was in Egypt. And the traditional techniques that have been used over the years by the United States, by the British, by the South Koreans in particular, when they were running, you know, very regular protests in the 80s, to use tear gas, to use rubber bullets, to do much better crowd control, they didn't seem interested in any of that. And so it does raise the question, did they head into this, did the military head into this with the intent of crushing the Muslim Brotherhood? It also raises a reverse question, which is, does the Muslim Brotherhood feel, having failed in governing, at least in their first shot at it, that their best position is to force the Egyptian military to overreact?
And in the meantime, with the backdrop of this chaos in Egypt and the ongoing violence in Syria, of course, Secretary of State Kerry is stewarding these new Israeli-Palestinian talks, having managed to get both sides to the table starting this week. Do you think, David, that Kerry has any better shot at accomplishing negotiations because of what's going on elsewhere in the region? Does this give him an opening, or does it just add further uncertainty to the whole peace process to have Syria and Egypt blowing up the way they are?
You know, in an odd way, I think they're pretty separated, because the Israeli-Palestinian issues are a set of well-defined issues over many decades that have to do with territory and governance. And in the case of Egypt and Syria, there's a separate dynamic coming that's more out of the Arab uprisings of the past 2 years. That doesn't mean that the results in one won't affect the results in the other. But let's say for a moment, in the most wildly optimistic scenario, that Secretary Kerry is successful here in reaching some kind of agreement, and we are all hopeful that, in fact, he does. Would it make any particular difference to the Syrian civil war or what's unfolding in Egypt? I don't think so. I don't think it would have very much. And I think that's part of the concern about where the United States is putting its effort now, right? It's putting it in the traditional issue of Israel and Palestine, but at a moment that you've got a Syrian civil war underway and the possibility of an emerging long-term civil war in Egypt, which would create a particularly big arc of instability.
David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for The New York Times and author of Confront and Conceal, Obama's Secret Wars and Surprising Use of American Power. David, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, New York State Senator Eric Adams, who gave some key and disputed testimony in the stop and frisk trial. He said Police Commissioner Kelly told him the goal was to scare black and Latino men. We'll hear Adams' version of it coming up next.